For any sized donation before December 1st, we'll send you my 2021 Advent devotional booklet. Make a secure online gift at thewordendures.org or make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you my new Advent devotional booklet.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Why courage? Well, Joseph is a respected man, and he's going public to ask for the right to bury the body of a man who was killed as a criminal. He might easily be charged with being in collusion with this so-called rebellion against Caesar that Jesus supposedly had been leading.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. We were still standing before the cross in our last podcast. We saw the ominous and growing darkness strike at midday, and from the darkness we heard the cry of our Lord. He was praying the opening words of Psalm 22, and we contemplated how all of that psalm was being fulfilled in that very moment. Above all, how Jesus took into himself what Kretzmann called the long loneliness of sin. The bystanders, remember, mistake his call. They think he's calling to Elijah. One of them gives him some sour wine. Jesus, with a loud cry, breathes his last, or, as the King James Version puts it, gave up the ghost. And immediately, things started to happen. Mark, recall, omits mentioning the earthquake, but he does mention how the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom. God's action. The way home is now opened. And as the centurion watched how Jesus died, how he gave himself into death, he spoke the confession that this whole gospel has been driving us toward. Truly, this man is the Son of God. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter, beginning at the 40th verse. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. St. Mark 15, verses 40 to 47. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death, and by his rest in the tomb, you sanctified the graves of your saints. And by his bodily resurrection, you brought life and immortality to light, so that all who die in him abide in peace and hope. Receive our thanks for the victory over death and the grave that he won for us. Keep us in everlasting communion with all who wait for him on earth and with all in heaven who are with him. For he is the resurrection and the life, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So you're ready to ponder this word of God for today? Let's dig into it. Verse 40, there were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joses, and Salome. Verse 41, when he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. The women who had followed him and served him and the disciples stood, even when the disciples had fled. They couldn't bear to leave Jesus, even though they were helpless to do anything for him in that hour. In that hour, all the work was his. He was serving them and us. Mary Magdalene is always listed first among the women. But notice this Mary, the mother of James the younger, or even the shorter, and of Joses. Remember Mark 6, verse 3, when Jesus taught in Nazareth, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" Here, I think you get a huge hint that the Virgin Mary is not the mother of these others, but some other woman also named Mary, because surely Mark would have written, "And Mary, his mother." His mother is how John speaks of Mary the Virgin in chapter 19 of his gospel. Verse 42. And when the evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Evening means here not nightfall, but the time when the sun is clearly westering. Since it was the day of preparation, the Greek there is paraskeva, and that's transliterated into Latin as the oldest name for Good Friday, the paraskeva, the preparation. Joseph of Arimathea was not only a respected member of the council. St. Luke adds, who had not consented to their decision and action, Luke 23, verse 50. He was a lonely voice against their mob action. St. John adds, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, John 19, verse 38. This man takes courage in hand and goes to beg Pilate for the right to have the body of Jesus, that he might give it a proper burial. Why courage? Well, Joseph is a respected man, and he's going public to ask for the right to bury the body of a man who was killed as a criminal. He might easily be charged with being in collusion with this so-called rebellion against Caesar that Jesus supposedly had been leading. He's willing to risk it, and so he asks. Verse 44. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. Verse 45. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. It normally can take some time for people to die from crucifixion. The whole idea was to drag out the suffering. But remember that Jesus had been in charge of his death. He laid down his own life. He decided when the moment had arrived that his saving purpose of bearing the sin of the world was complete. And Pilate is surprised that he could possibly be dead after only a matter of hours. So he summons the man in charge of supervising the crucifixions, who confirms the fact for him. When Pilate is convinced that Jesus really is dead, well, then he grants Joseph's request for the corpse to be given to him. Verse 46. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. We know from St. Matthew 27, verse 60, that the tomb was actually Joseph's own. He had had his burial place prepared, which suggests perhaps that he was an older man. Death was certainly on his mind. He brings the shroud to wrap Jesus' body in. We have a fascinating quede on that from St. Bede, the 7th and 8th century historian of the English Church. The vanity of the rich, who even in their graves cannot do without their riches, receives its condemnation from the simple and unassuming interment of the Lord. Hence, indeed, the custom of the Church was derived, that the sacrifice of the altar should not be commemorated by wrapping the elements in silk or any other colored cloth, but in linen, as the body of the Lord was buried in clean, fine linen. And the custom that Bede mentions here is still observed to this day. the very name of the altar cloth on which the elements are spread out is today still the fair linen. Of course, many have wondered if this cloth that Joseph used is not the selfsame one we still have, the Shroud of Turin with that enigmatic image somehow blazed into it of a crucified man. Verse 47. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. The Marys had clearly not been content to watch after his death, but as his body is removed from the cross, they trail along behind Joseph as he carries the body to the tomb with the help of Nicodemus, as we learn from John 19, verse 39, and they watch this hasty burial and no doubt already began to make their plans to return after the Sabbath was done and finish the task, which had only really just been begun. And so in his borrowed grave, Jesus too keeps Sabbath. Johann Gerhard, that greatest dogmatician and teacher of Lutheranism in the 17th century, he wrote, "When God the Lord created heaven and earth, he rested on the seventh day," Genesis 2. Thus, since Christ had now accomplished the redemption of the human race on the cross and had won for us the new creation, the rebirth to eternal life, behold, he thus also wanted to keep his Sabbath in the grave. Christ had not worked quite as hard in the first creation as he did in the second creation, or the redemption of mankind. In the first creation, everything was created through the Word. Here, Christ had to endure extreme and burdensome suffering. For that reason, he indeed rightly rested in the grave. And with this rest in the grave, Christ obtained for us great benefits. God the Lord can rest in us, and we in him, so that after death our bodies may rest in the grave and our souls may rest in God's hand, and so that someday we may be able to enter with body and soul into eternal rest. Isn't that just beautiful? That's where we're going to call a halt for today, people loved by God. Up next, when Sabbath has ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, the mother of Saints John and James, will head out after sunset on Saturday to purchase some spices so that they can anoint Jesus' body. And then come very early on the first day of the week, just as dawn's light enabled them to see what they were doing, they make their way to the tomb. And they're worried as they go about the stone. But when they get there, they see that their worry was needless. The stone's rolled back, the grave opened, and it's not empty. Inside, there's a young man, same word you had back in Mark 14 with the fellow who ran away naked, sitting inside, and he's clothed, white robe on him. He tells them not to be afraid. He knows who they're looking for, but he tells them they're looking in the wrong spot. He's risen, and he tells them to go tell Peter and the rest of the disciples that he's heading up to Galilee to meet them as he foretold. The women run from the tomb, trembling, astonished, and they stay silent, at least at first. We'll have to suss out if the gospel really ended here on that note. We'll be looking at the other endings as well, particularly the longer ending. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.